Hi, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I'm Oscar. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon today. And, you know, I wasn't grateful when I came to these rooms of Al-Anon at all. And didn't know what gratitude even meant. Thought I did. I had a huge ego. And, I want to thank Roger, though, for asking me to come and be of service. I realized one thing so far. That when I get to be a service and I think I'm going to help somebody else, so much more gets given back to my recovery. And I'm so grateful for that today. Because I have a long list of things that I've been discovering about myself because of this program, because of the 12 steps, because of the 12 traditions, because of the 12 concepts, and because of all of you. When I go to meetings, I hear exactly what I need to hear. Not what I like to hear, but exactly what I need to hear for myself to recover. This morning I got here a little bit earlier and I went and sat in AA's room and I listened and they had a topic of gratitude. Last night I got blessed to go do a panel and it was a recovery center. And there was just one client there. There was four Al-Anons and three AA panels to talk to this one client. And we sat there, and he heard five of us, two of us, the time ran out. And I started realizing something about it that I never would comprehend until this morning. A little miracle happened to me. My wife spoke with me this morning at 4 o'clock. And that's a miracle that we had a conversation and we actually exchanged words and thoughts and ideas. And I realized that I can do that today because I'm in service and going to these places and talking about the program. Taking the message of how this program has helped me change my life or help me see the list of things that I have. Not that I have to do, but that I have, that I thought they were negative and bad. And a lot of them came from growing up in a home where there was drinking all the time. And it was normal. If there was a death, a baptism, a birthday party, a barbecue, we were at the shop, my dad had his own business. It was drinking 24/7. When he'd go to the track, there was drinking. When he'd be driving, there was drinking. It was normal, very normal, to see dad work and drink. When there was no food or alcohol at any function, something was wrong. And that's the idea that I grew up with leaving the home. That's what I did. But what happened to me was this, is that the relationship got affected. In Pastor Recovery on the first step, they talk about that. And I read this before. Many times I've read this before. But it never hit me. It never hit me till recently to where it says, alcoholism is a family disease. This means the alcoholism of one member affects the whole family and all become sick. Why does this happen? It happens because, unlike diabetes, alcoholism not only exists inside the body of the alcoholic, but is a disease of relationships as well. And that's what happened to me. I used to see the way my mom and dad would interact with each other. There'd be a big old fight over not enough onion or tomato in the rice, and it'd either be running out of the house or it'd be on the wall. And then the next day it'd be like mom making breakfast, dad be so nice and quiet, and they'd feed me and they'd send me off to school and they'd say, don't say anything. And I learned not to say anything, and those are the things that I learned how to do with that elephant in the house, with that elephant in the relationship. How do I deal with money? How do I deal with sex? How do I deal with my job, with my boss? How do I deal with authorities? How do I deal with rules? The relationship was mostly affected also was with that higher power they talk about in this program. I was given a God at a very young age. I was given a religion too. But you know, I didn't believe he existed for me. He existed. There was a God. But it was for Ozzy and Harriet. You know Ozzy and Harriet on TV? They had that wonderful life, and Ozzy used to come and open his fridge, and he'd take out that quart of ice cream, and he'd serve himself some ice cream. I remember as a kid saying, that's what I want to do. And I thought that's the way it was supposed to be. When I left that home, I couldn't get along with my girlfriends. They last 2-3 months, and we'd break up. And we get back together, and we break up, and get back together, and we break up. And I acted just like my dad, and I believed that I was becoming my dad, the man that I didn't want to become. And I thought that's who I was before I came to this program. And I had a lot of anger and hatred built inside, a lot of resentment, a lot of unhappiness. And I didn't know how to cope with it, so what I did was exactly what they taught me. Don't say anything. Denial kept me alive for many years because I was suicidal at a young age and I was homicidal and I thought about taking my dad out when I was young. And I heard this little feeling, this voice inside my gut and say, don't do it. And I remember weeping as a young boy. That same voice talked to me when I started program. That's that higher power that they talk about, that spirituality, because what happened to me, the relationship was broken between my God. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually, I was bankrupt. But even though I looked really good outside, I graduated from high school, didn't get into the gangs. All my friends that I grew up playing marbles, they got into drugs, dealers, and gangs. My dad taught me a trade. He kept me at the shop at the young age of 8 till I was 18, till I left. I couldn't handle it anymore. And that fiance that I got at 22, it ended. Every relationship was damaged because I didn't know how to deal with it healthy. I knew how to deal with relationships. I was really good at relationships. But it was looking good outside. But inside, I was bankrupt. And I didn't know it. I didn't know it until I came to this program. And what brought me to this program was my second fiancé in my 30s. And you might hear me weep today. I'm not macho anymore. That's a gift from this program. To be able to learn how to feel and cry. I was taught we didn't do that. Men don't cry. Men don't talk about feelings. Men don't hug. And that girl, that fiance that I was dating in Mexico, was a national convention, and I heard the speaker. And this is how big my ego was, and can still be. I have to watch it with my ego. That I thought that he was talking directly to me, and that my girlfriend told him to tell my story, because he was telling my story. This is a national convention. And he talked about this cart. And he talked about pulling this cart, and he had his family on top of it. And he had his mom. My mom had a nervous breakdown. His mom had a nervous breakdown. And he talked about his dad that drank all the time. And he talked about how he had to work with his dad. And he talked about his brother. And he talked about not getting along with people. And he talked about being angry at God the way I was angry. And he talked about pulling this cart, and he couldn't pull it anymore. And that's where I knew that I needed to learn about this. That's when I related, because I felt that gut instinct, that little voice that told me not to hurt my dad when I was younger, and a big knot welled up in my throat. And tears started coming down my face. See, I needed that to wake me up. I needed to feel that. Because remember I told you, emotionally, I was broken. Spiritually, I was broken. And physically, didn't know how to take care of myself. So I started coming to these meetings. And that relationship with that young lady ended. And I went into a tailspin because, once again, didn't work. And in this program, I started learning about myself. And in this program, I learned about forgiveness. In this program, I learned to say, my dad was sick too. He drank all the time, but he couldn't stop. Not that he hated me, because that's what I thought. Because he hated mom and dad and my brother, and he had a drink so he could get along with his life. But that man was sick. And for whatever reasons, he couldn't stop. And that's the gift that this program gave me, to realize that. That he was taking care of me by keeping me at that shop because my mom had a nervous breakdown. And maybe she was incapable of being the best caregiver that day. And he was worried about my well-being. And I couldn't see that. Because I had this animosity, this anger, this poison inside of me. You know what they say in program, poison is taking poison and expecting the other person to die. That anger, that resentment, that hatred is that. For me, that's what it was. And it showed up in every relationship that I had with anybody. There's a lot of beautiful literature in this program. There's this book called From Survival to Recovery, and I'll try to end with the reading. But when I was new in program, my dad had cirrhosis already of the liver, and he would only call me when he needed to go to the hospital. And I didn't understand why. And this has been 7 years now. 7 years. I didn't understand why he would only call me to take him when he couldn't, because he would be very independent. He wouldn't go have coffee with me. He wouldn't go out to lunch or dinner. But he'd only call me, and I hated him for that. But this program made me realize something. Something clicked in me once I heard somebody at a meeting. I was his rock. I was his best friend. And he loved me the only way he knew how. My dad came from another era where you didn't act the way you act today. You didn't accept things. You don't talk about things. He comes from a different time. And I get to realize that today. And that's the way my dad showed me he loved me. Before he passed, I was like 2-3 months in program. I had this feeling. I heard about this amends, this step about making amends, you know. I wasn't even on my first step. And that little voice told me, make amends with him. And we were sitting in room 14 at the emergency hospital, Huntington Hospital. And I said, Dad. And it was so hard for me to do. One of the hardest things I've done. I said, Dad, I want you to forgive me for the way I've acted and treated you. And he looked at me and he said, I forgive you. And I was crying when I said that to him. And I started when I said that to him. And he says, I want you to forgive me for the way I raised you. I wanted you to be a straight and narrow kind of guy. And something happened that I believe was that higher power, that God, the spirituality, that brokenness that I didn't know how to get in contact with came into that room. That animosity, that hate, that abandonment that I felt was lifted and taken away. And there was this peaceful feeling between my dad and myself in that room. And I got to be a service to my dad through his illness, through his death. I got to bury my dad with a grace and dignity that I didn't know I was capable of having until, like this program talks about. And the relationship was being mended. But I didn't see that then, but now I do. Because I feel good about what I did with my dad and what I did for me. And that's where my recovery started. Forgiving and being asked to be forgiven, making that amends, was an act of love that I didn't know I had, I didn't know I was capable of doing. And the other thing that I realized in this program is that any time that I think I have to, I should, and I could, brings on guilt from my past. And I'm working with that. And I'm either in the past or I'm in the future. But I'm not in the present day. My mind is not in the present day. My disease is following me and pulling me and taking me. And the Romans back in the old times of the Romans, when they find you guilty, they would tie that cadaver. If you killed somebody, they would tie that cadaver. They'd chain it to you. And you had to drag that cadaver because that was your sentence. And I think when I heard that, I related. And I thought, that's what I've been doing all my life. Is feeling shameful and guilty. Thinking that I had some type of power over my parents, that they would stop doing what they were doing, and I had that control over them, over my girlfriends and fiancés, over my co-workers, over my bosses, over anybody. But anytime I felt like I had to, could, or should, I felt guilt. And I was pulling that cadaver, and I couldn't let go of it. But this program has given me a gift that I get to do things different. I have options today. Reason things out with somebody else, but let there not be any criticism or gossip. Instead, let the understanding, love, and peace of the program grow in you one day at a time. And that is what's happening. That is, if I allow it, because it's a choice to let that spirituality, that God that really cares and loves me, and it's giving me what I need. When I go to meetings, I hear what I need, not what I want. If I surrender, and if I surrender, truly surrender, I realize that I get to win. I don't have to fight and get angry anymore. I still do. I don't do this perfect. But nowhere in the literature have I read that I have to do this perfect. And that's the lie, the deceit of this disease that it's been in my head. I'm really grateful to be here today. As I have a full and rich life. And I can see that today. And I couldn't see that before. And I wasn't grateful before. And that's why when I'm asked to do some service, I say yes. When I'm asked to show up, I say yes. And I do it for fun and for free. And the only time that I know that I'm not doing it for fun and for free is that when I'm expecting some kind of payoff. And that's the normal thing for me. But if I allow the result up to be to God, that I just show up and carry the message, and the rest is up to God. I just go plant that seed or bring that little bit of light of the program, of the spiritual program. Then the results are all up to the higher power of God. I'm going to end with this paragraph right here. That I truly love. And if we willingly surrender ourselves to the spiritual discipline of the 12 steps, our lives can be transformed. We can become mature, responsible individuals with a great capacity for joy, fulfillment, and wonder. Though we will never be perfect, continual spiritual progress can reveal to us our enormous potential. Many of us discover that our fellow members already know that we are both worthy of love and loving. We learn to love ourselves without losing ourselves with I messed that up. We learn to love others without losing ourselves, and we accept love in return. Our sight, once clouded and distorted, can clear enough for us to perceive reality and recognize truth. Courage and fellowship replace fear it becomes possible for us to risk failure and develop new previous hidden talents. See, that's what this program has given me, the talents that I didn't know I had. Those things that I talked about, that list, some of them were defense mechanisms to survive. But every time I've looked at them, there's always a positive. And I thought there were negatives. But there's always something good in that. And that's what this program has helped me see, that when I look at others, I see the beauty and the positive things in them. And then my disease doesn't allow me to try them to control me. And the only power I have is over my own life and my own will. But if I think in negative things, I give away my power and I'm all into you. And you decide how my day is going to start and how it's going to end. And there's no God in that. But if I look at the beautiful things that I have and the talents that you have and the relationships that I get, that I've been given, I can live in the present day. And that's what this program has given me so far. And I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. I know I need to be here. Because I've been affected by a disease that's powerful, baffling, and cunning. Thank you for letting me be here and share with you.